You can hear me. I can hear you. Had a little bit of technical difficulty. I have a USB hub because even though the 2015 MacBook Pro has real USB ports, there are still not enough. So I have the camera going into a hub. But today the hub decided, nope, I've got too many things plugged into me already. I can't handle it. So I had to change it to the other side, and now I had to rejigger everything. So I don't know. Lots of technical difficulties. This is what happens when we're gone for a week.
Really, this is my fault, is what you're getting at. Like,
it's just all your fault, Brent.
Just say, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you just getting right to it. Be like, so we took a week off because of you, and everything's broken because of you.
Because of
so
you.
So if the show doesn't work, it's because of you. No other reasons.
I don't have any related camera news, besides the fact that I was having difficulty with the cam link. So I don't know how long this cold opening is going to go, because normally we fill this time to talk about tech crap that's going on and stuff.
Yeah. I have a feeling this week's going to be weird. I think we're going to be switching it up. Things are going to be moving around. I don't know.
Introduction.
Hey.
Welcome to the Fucking Do It Cast. We are part of the Hard Knock Media Podcasting Network, hosted on hardknockmedia.com. That's N-O-C as in Nerds of Color. We are brought to you live in studio from the internet. Oh, I could have talked about some shit. So we'll see if the signal is a little bit better, because I have one of those, what do they call them, line adapter things? What do they call them? It's a line adapter, power line.
Define what you mean by signal, because you already use much higher level audio equipment and video equipment than I do.
Right.
So
I'm talking about
what
internet.
You're really telling me is you want to sound and look immaculate.
No.
And therefore you force me to spend money. Because what? I don't want to sound like absolute dog shit, and by comparison, I do. Like,
well,
already.
I'm talking about the internet connection, the actual the internet connection. So I normally use Wi-Fi up here because I'm in the upstairs office. I'm in the exact opposite corner from where the router is, and until now, the Wi-Fi has been fine. So Jeremy and I have been doing promo for School for Extraterrestrial Girls. And yes, a couple of times I've had to do the interviews downstairs, like right next to the router, because I'm working off of Wi-Fi. So I was like, well, let me take a look into it. I'm not ready to run like fucking cables around the house, but maybe there's another solution. So they have these things called power line adapters.
Okay.
Basically, you plug in the adapter near your router. You take the Ethernet cable from the router, plug it into this adapter. So now everything that gets plugged into the wall sockets is able to transfer internet signal. So now I have an adapter up in the office that has an Ethernet cable coming out of that going into the computer. So in theory, I have a wired connection, and I tried it out in an interview that we did last week that started at 6, and my internet, my sound and video looked like garbage. It sounded terrible. It was cool. Just as bad as with the Wi-Fi. So I don't know. And it was because we were broadcasting at 6 and not at 8 when you and I broadcast, because it's fine. The signal is fine because no one's around apparently.
Yeah, apparently no one uses their internet at 8 p.m. in your neighborhood. That's what I've learned.
It's weird because we got kids, we got like a pool, like there's mm-hmm. stuff around. So I don't know what the deal is with that. But I have a wired connection. Now, funny thing about the 2015 MacBook Pro. Guess what kind of port it did not come with?
An Ethernet point?
Yes, it did not. Brandon Chalmers.
I won. Wait, hang on. Does mine have an Ethernet port?
What version of MacBook Pro do you run here, Brandon Chalmers?
I have no idea. I think the 2017?
2017 MacBook Pro. I guarantee you it does not have an Ethernet port.
I'm like 99% sure. I'm moving all sorts of shit around. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. It doesn't. It's got like FireWire and all sorts of other silliness and what have you, yeah. But yeah.
I bet it does not have a SD card reader, does it?
Yeah, I think actually, yes. Yes, it does.
It does. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I went Mac refurbished.
Nice.
So I spent the same amount of money that I would, but got a much nicer computer because I think like somebody sneezed on it or something like that, which... Yeah. You know, we all know that's a-okay. So well,
I think your edition then might be the last edition that came with a SD card reader built in.
Yes, I am like 99% sure about that. Because I,
yeah.
like when I bought mine, I think the MacBook Airs were like really just starting.
Yeah.
And I remember like grandstanding, because I think I bought the thing mostly for myself just to say like, I wanted a nice computer and I deserve a nice computer. But it was also like my PC was like slowly dying.
Yeah.
And we were doing Super Art Fight at the time and I needed something that had it like a physical HDMI in to be able to actually run things. And, you know, I didn't want to carry around a dongle or whatever it is. And I wasn't sure whether or not it was going to work. Yada, yada. And then I saw like the new MacBook Airs and I was like, cool. And then I saw how like just absolutely useless they were.
You got two like, ports.
Right. And I was like, what the fuck is with this glorified iPad? Like, what is this crap? Like, so I went on the refurbished and bought the toughest one that I could. I think like all the specs are super high, but the hard drive was much smaller. I think it's like 128 gig solid state drive.
Yeah.
Well, because I figured I threw another 128 gig SD card in the side of the thing. And then I've got external drives. So reasonably, if I don't save anything locally and I cloud store mostly everything else,
yeah.
why do I need to have all this stuff locally? Like all my music lives on a separate hard drive. All of my photo stuff and everything else like that lives on multiple hard drives. Like I've got, you know, my own kind of NAS system set up. So what do I need the local storage in the laptop for? Like,
that's true.
So I realized like, okay, when I'm ready to go somewhere, if I need something locally, cool, throw it on there locally, but I can throw 3 or 4 SD cards in my bag and easily quadruple my storage space and just label them,
yeah.
you know, one for M for music, P for photos, like just,
yeah.
takes like zero space and it costs like what, $40 for a card or something? Like it's nothing.
Yeah. And your version of the MacBook Pro is the last version that people gave a shit about. Cause after that version, they took out the SD card and then they put in the fucking touch bar that nobody fucking wants. Plus the touch bar still to this day,
yep.
the year of our Lord 2020 lacks a theremin. It lacks a theremin. I cannot do my Beach Boy thing. I cannot do my Doctor Who thing. I cannot do my Star Trek original TOS thing because it doesn't have a theremin. I will never buy another MacBook Pro.
I was going
to
say.
They do not put, if they refuse to put that shit in there, done.
I'll most likely what I'll end up doing is buying a gaming PC.
Yeah.
And then just spending the money on a theremin and just suddenly have a much more capable computer and not worry about it.
And it'll be more affordable and you'll have the theremin.
Yeah. Right. Like, cause reasonably, like what I've learned is if I wanted to ever upgrade my Mac, I may as well realistically just buy an iPad and that keyboard case.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to sell me anyway. Because I'm not a graphic designer. Yeah. I'm not utilizing the software and everything else like that the way I should. Yeah. I love the aesthetic. Like, they're gorgeous. They're really great design. I love it.
Yeah.
But I don't need that. Like, if I wanted a workhorse, I'd buy a PC.
Yeah. Like, oh, and speaking of PCs, NVIDIA just released their new fancy cards, the 3070, the 3080, and the 3090. Their new graphics card line looks fucking amazing. So yes, if you're going to do any gaming, or if you think that you might want to do any graphics on a like in the future,
yeah,
PC is the way to go. Real graphics cards, like, it'll run Maya like a beast. It'll run ZBrush like a beast. If you're doing drawing programs, it can handle it. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm excited about what's going on in the PC space. Everyone's been talking about, like, oh, Apple's going to be doing their own silicon and blah. Motherfucker.
No. Like, honestly, I still don't understand why you haven't built a proper tower for working at home.
Well, because this thing has lasted me 5 years.
I get that, but I'm just saying, like, for the money that you would spend to properly upgrade that, you could have easily purchased two really strong towers.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I waited, because these new video cards look like they're fucking beasts. So
right.
I'm going
right.
to be consulting many PC friends on building out a rig to finally be able to render our podcasts
right yeah because
quicker like, than the majority of the work,
right because like the majority of the work that you do is at home. Like, it's important for you to be able to have a laptop that can handle a lot of stuff, but reality is that you could probably do, I'd say, comfortably 95% of your work at home on a proper tower.
Yeah.
And have, you know, a multi-stage backup system and proper cards, and if one part dies, you just replace that one part and you don't have to deal with a genius bar or anything else like that. You just, oh, okay, well, power supply is dead, fuck, fine, that sucks, but cool, I can grab whatever my travel setup is,
yeah,
hop onto Newegg or whatever, yeah, order the new power supply, it'll be here in 2 days, I'll install the thing in 10 minutes, and I'll be back up and running, and I won't have lost frustrating time at Genius Bars and watching little, like, rainbow pinwheels stare at me as Adobe crashes for the bazillionth time. And
yeah, Jesus.
Right.
Yeah, I think I've been thinking about, like, this, if COVID didn't fuck everything up, I probably would have purchased a gaming PC by now, to just to be able to use it, but I'm glad I waited, because all these new cards are coming out.
Yeah,
and they're cheap as shit. Well, they're not cheap as shit, but they're
comparatively
more affordable. Yeah. So I'm gonna be bugging a bunch of friends and be like, I need a rig that's going to last me a long time, but also so I can play the density, but also so I can render out Maya files, and make movies on my fucking PC and shit, instead of like waiting a year and a half to render like maybe 10 frames. I'm so disappointed. It's like, we're Ample, we do all this fancy shit, like, we have nothing for you unless you're a motion graphics artist, and then we have this $10,000 piece of shit that you can't
fuck that afford,
so fuck you. So I'm just, yeah, I did have tech stuff. I didn't realize I had tech stuff, but we have tech.
You always have tech stuff.
There's always tech stuff.
You always have tech stuff.
Shit is always happening. Brandon Chalmers,
sir.
I forget the format of our show. It's been a while. I don't care. What does it feel like to be a really real boy now? Brandon Chalmers, you have a real person job. You
yes.
have to go to a place. You,
yes.
you are gainfully motherfucking employed.
I yeah.
What's it feel like? What's it feel like to be back in the real world?
Good. I need that routine. Mm-hmm. Like, really, really need that routine. I'm bad when I don't have a job. And I know it is very unhealthy in a lot of ways to be like, if I don't work, I don't feel like I have purpose. But like, because I need that routine. Like, I am somebody who very much, like my family, and it reminds me that a lot of this stuff is genetic. Like, my vices will very much get the worst of me. And whether that's like cheeseburgers or retail therapy or, you know, turning in and just deciding like, it's Thursday, I got nothing else going on, fuck it, I don't have work tomorrow, may as well break out like half a bottle of Jameson and watch some dumb YouTube videos. Next thing you know, like, I'm drunk on a Thursday night, fucking hanging out in my own living room. It's like, well, you're drinking by yourself, friend. Here we go. And like, obviously I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not, you know, I'm not doing anything terribly destructive, but it's not healthy, like by any means. So try to get myself when I was home on a regular workout schedule. That was helping a bit, but it kind of depended on the day about how for it I was and against I was and what have you. And like, it was hard because my better half and I were trying to schedule and work out together because she really likes having me there to motivate her. Like, she's, you know, has a long history of playing sports and what have you, but she has trouble kind of figuring out what she should be doing and trying to make sure that she doesn't feel lost. Cause I think it's just like, if you're not used to a workout schedule and really understand how these things work together properly, you basically feel like, I guess I'll do a push-up, maybe. Like, bikes are good, right? I'll lift some things, like, just so she was looking for me to kind of help out with a bit of that. So in turn, it was like, okay, let's start doing scheduled things. And then it was like, okay, we'll do this like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then pause, and we'll do at least 3 days. And then like on the weekend, we'll try and do something together, whether it's like yard work together or going a long bike ride or a hike or what have you. And then schedule shifted. And it was like, well, let's do it like Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And it was like, okay, well, now we're already losing a day. And then, you know, we'd get caught up with something, or work would go long for her, or we'd get caught up doing something else during the day or whatever. And then that stopped being kind of a regular thing. So that kind of dropped off hard. And I had the sudden realization that like, I hadn't worked out in forever. Like, tonight was the first night I had worked out in weeks. But it was because I kind of needed to force myself to get back in a schedule. Part of that whole thing was, you know, I needed to get back out in the workforce. Okay, cool. Unemployment was starting to run out. Things, you know, it was time. So took a job market's rough right now. And I know a lot of people are feeling that, where like I was forced to take a contract position with the like intent to hire was essentially the idea. And it was for a large company that was the largest in their field in the like the wellness sort of thing. So I was managing the warehouse where they were doing in-person flu shots. Initially we would have been like in office, but they were talking about doing like setting up facilities and drive-through areas and stuff like that. And basically, like, you wanted a flu shot, you basically pulled up and you handed them a voucher and you basically just held your sleeve up and they just tagged you right in the arm and then let you drive away. Right. Nice. Like, that's straightforward. But they needed like supplies and organization and what have you. So I got brought in to manage that. And while all this was happening simultaneously, like, so I start on a Monday, right? I get a call over the weekend from one of my closest friends, and he's like, hey, I think I might have an opportunity for you. It's going to be completely changing what you do. So he's a roofer by trade. And he's like, I've got a potential position for you to become a roofing estimator. And he's like, I know you don't know shit about it, but I think you can apply all of your other skills to everything. And they're looking for somebody who doesn't have necessarily experience in this to come in a more entry-level position and not have to unlearn all of the bad shit that they've learned at other places. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, cool. And like, I was, you know, given the whole thing of like the other two main people that would be doing something similar to what I do came from the restaurant management industry. So they're not shy about hiring people who aren't roofers. Like, they're good with this. They're good with spending the time and the money to train you up. Like, they know for the first 3 or 4 months, they're not making any money on you. Just, they're just sending you to school basically. And I'm like, okay. So I try and work out a schedule, but I'm working full time now. And the statement was, well, we can have you scheduled to come in and do an interview at 6 a.m. And I'm like, cool, I'll take it. The interview is like just shy of an hour away. So for anybody who's paying attention in the Baltimore area, I live in Towson. The location is in Beltsville. So it's getting around, you know, DC Beltway, what have you. Like, it's getting into the traffic area. Oh, yeah. The place that I was working at was in Columbia. So about a half an hour difference in between. I was driving like 35 minutes to Columbia, or it would be like almost an hour. I go in, I have the interview. The interview is an experience. they like sports in this place, like down to the decoration. They're real into sports.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you know, I sit down, I have a conversation with the guy, I kind of go through everything, and he's like, well, you know, I think you might be a good fit, but I have another interview. I'll get back to you before the end of the week. I was like, no problem. Okay, cool. Thanks for your time. And, you know, I go and I leave, and I'm the only one there. I beat everyone else into the office. It's just me and the owner just sitting down having a conversation, which is nice if I end up getting the job, because now I know I've got a direct line right to the ownership. So yeah, if I have an issue, if there's real change that needs to be made, I can just basically organize my thought process and plea my case. And I know I don't have to go through layer upon layer of management and everything else like that. I might have to deal with some difficult personalities. I might have to tiptoe around certain things, but like, I can learn the lay of the land pretty fast. It's a positive side of working for a smaller company.
That's cool.
So I get off my shift. I get a text message from the guy, and he's like, do me a favor, when you get out of work, give me a call. I'm like, oh God. Okay. So I call him on the way home. I'm like, hey, what's going on? He's like, so I canceled that other interview. I want to make you an offer. And I was like,
fuck that other motherfucker.
Right. Like, guy makes me an offer, makes it very clear what the potential could be long term, makes it very clear to incentivize me about 3 months down the road as a like, hey, this is where you are. This is where you'll be 3 months from the road. Here's what I'm expecting, 2 years, 5 years, and so on. And I'm like, okay. And nice. He's like, I don't expect you to do anything, like realistically generate anything for minimum 3 months. I'm expecting closer to six. This is okay. This is part of you growing, like want to make an investment in you. And the statement that got me 100%, like, and I was kind of in regardless because I needed a change, was you can take a bet on yourself or you can keep seeing how things are working out for you. I was like,
that's a great pitch.
Oh, it's a super great pitch. Cause it's like, you know, the market of what you can do. And mind you, right, I go in the next day. I ask him, you know, can I have the night to decide? Next day I go in, I call the guy before I go into work. I tell him, hey, I want to accept the position. He's like, great. Sounds good. I'll see you Monday. And I was like, okay, cool. Great. I was like, do I need to do anything? He's like, nope, just show up. Cool. Bonus points, because my buddy works there, we can carpool.
That's
so
awesome.
Now I don't have to drive to Beltsville every day. Two of us can drive to Beltsville every day. Yeah. And now it's joking around with a friend on that commute as opposed to sitting in traffic by yourself.
Yeah.
So totally makes it a world's better scenario for everybody involved. So I go in, I go and, you know, I have the conversation with my newfound boss. I've been there officially. This would be day three. I'm like, hey, so I got an offer for full-time work.
Yeah.
I accepted the offer. Do you want me to stick around the rest of the day and help you out? Or do you want me to pack my things before anybody else comes in? And I'm totally comfortable with whatever answer you'd like.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would really appreciate it if you stuck around all day. And I was like, done. You tell me what you need.
Mm-hmm.
I go start taking care of some things, what have you. And this is a job I knew how to do. This was very similar to what I was previously doing. Like essentially same exact position, a little more narrow, different company. But I can, with my eyes closed, I can do this job. So I sit down, I get going. This is like 8 a.m. By 10 a.m., I'm getting pulled into the director of finance's office. And they're immediately trying to talk me out of the position and trying to throw money at me full time.
Oh,
so
wow.
I have to turn down a full-time position with them and basically be like, hey, so I got to take a chance on this. Like, I have a vested interest here. I have a social aspect of knowing somebody. I don't want to burn that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, cool, call us in 6 months. And I was like, all right. Cool. Like, and basically told them, like, if you guys hadn't screwed around,
yeah,
and just have made me the offer,
yeah,
I wouldn't have been looking. But
yeah,
you played around, so the yeah, fuck you want.
Yeah. Contracts are higher in this. Yeah, that's
well, it's, you know, It's interesting because there are two things that I've been seeing recently that have been kind of a motherfucker for everybody. This contract to hire sort of half promise, mm-hmm. where people have to really put themselves in a tough situation of no insurance for multiple months, yep. or, you know, no real guarantees and what have you. And you feel yep. like you're just kind of like, I guess I'm on a long-term interview. Should I look? Should I not look? What am I supposed to be looking for? Because I've seen a lot of that and a lot of non-competes. Ugh. Like, and got lucky about that. But it's a whole thing now where, like, they don't want to, companies on average that I've been at, and I hope this new one is very different, and, like, they've been super cool with me since I've been there. I'm now into week two and enjoying the hell out of it. Yeah. But yeah. I've been seeing a lot of people who I'm close to be basically brought into positions, and then once they're brought into that position, then being presented with a non-compete. And that's not okay.
No, it's that's predatory like a motherfucker.
Or you can walk.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. And because what are you supposed to do at that point?
That's some
bull. Because it's a power move to be able to go, absolutely not. Take your job and fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't discuss this in the interview. This wasn't what we're doing. This is a bait and switch. It's predatory. I'm out. Yeah. Like, I don't know many people who are in that financial position.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, I think if you're in that sort of financial position, you're probably not taking a position at the salary where they'd be able to get you with that sort of thing.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, it's real messed up. So that's been something I've been seeing a lot lately. But in turn, right now, what I think, if I chill out and I start digging in and I humble myself and I remind myself that, like, hey, you know a thing or two about a thing or two, but you don't know really anything about this. That's been the hardest part, is just kind of going, cool, so that's what these are. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So that's been the hardest part about this whole process. But I'm excited. I've got a new career, which is fucking weird to say.
That's so fucking cool, man. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I am very, very fortunate. Once again, reminded that most good things in my life happen from good old fashioned nepotism, which is terrible.
Whatever, dude. What the fuck ever.
It's kind of what I've found is, like, that networking is real as hell. Mm-hmm. And I have been trying to talk myself out of cleaving off so many, like, half not real people on LinkedIn, because when I started looking and I started reaching out for assistance,
yeah,
there was none. Oh. And, like, no, I think I'm going to cut y'all some out. Like, you won't go.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially realizing that, like, my old boss who hired me is a recruiter and basically ghosted me. It's like, am I that fucking toxic? Or, like,
these people are not real people.
Yeah.
They don't understand the GameX bond.
Yeah. You mean the thing that I wasn't at? Yes, that yeah. bond.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, so, yeah, it's been a weird, like, it always seems to come in a rush. So it's new job, it's family drama, it's like, yeah, I changed out the whole sidewalk out back and installed a gravel pathway this past weekend. Like, hell yeah, man. Just putting it to work, trying to get back into it. So
yeah.
Yeah. So that's been kind of what I've been up to.
Cool.
What have you been geeking about?
I released a single between the last time we met and now. It's everywhere. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on about a desert rain frog. It's a cute little frog that does the squeaky noises and shit like that. I'm actually working on another single. I went and found a couple of songs that I had recorded, like, years ago. I dusted it off, I cleaned up some of the tracks. I'm sending it to somebody to professionally mix it. So we'll see
how. Whoa.
We'll see how that
goes. Are we talking about like you hit somebody up on Fiverr or like somebody?
No, I did research and I got a pro mixer.
Oh, Jamie.
Take a look at my track. And he was like, yeah, this is cool. This is my rate. And I was like, I'm glad I have a Patreon. So we'll see how this goes.
Okay.
But I like recording, I can do, you know, overdubbing, arranging, all that shit. It's right. Mixing the tracks is my weakness right now. And rather than like spending months kicking myself and like redoing, I was like, I'm just going to get someone who knows what they're doing to work on this one. In the meantime, I'll record other tracks and like start doing my own stuff. But yeah. I feel really good about this song. So I was like,
good.
This one is all right. So we'll see how this goes. And now I'm looking at like, well, how do you promote yourself when you don't really do music? Like when, like I'm a cartoonist, I draw comics. That's what I do. But I do this music thing on the side. So like now I'm trying to figure out how to like get this into people's ears. And like, there's the whole Spotify playlist game. It's not a game that you can win. Cause you're competing with like major labels and like all of these other people who have ins already and who know like editors and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, well,
yeah, that's no good.
I think I'll have to just like do it the old scrappy like Adam Warrock way. And then I was like, wait, I can't go to comic shops and do sets at comic shops because COVID is killing us. So right. I'm like, well, I'll figure stuff out. I'll just start putting my music out there. And if people dig it, it'll be great. I don't know. I'm very nervous about this next one. Cause like, don't ask how much, but like I've always wanted to do more with my music. And so I figured like, well, instead of just talking about it, I'm just going to start putting shit up. Like,
hell yeah, man.
That's how I did web comics. That's how I got into comics. That's how I do everything. That's how we're doing this dumb fucking podcast. That's how I do YouTube. We just like, we put something up and if nobody likes it, I don't give a fuck. Like, you know,
just keep doing the things you enjoy.
Keith listens to us and that's the most important thing. So like,
makes sense to me. Hey boss.
Yeah. And there are a handful of other people who listen to us. And so, you know, that's all that matters. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to put this shit out there. We'll see how it goes. But also like the idea of like earning residual income off of other stuff is appealing to me. Like putting tracks up, I think I'm going to start putting stuff up on like Artlist, which is like a stock music place where like if you need music for like a bed for like a commercial or if you need a bed for like a animation project, you can
go to
Artlist and download it and you get stuff off of that. So like
that's cool.
I have random shit that I'll never finish. That I might just tweak here and there and stick it up there and see what happens. So, and then like getting into macro photography, there's a lot of shit, man.
I would say you've got like 1,400 hobbies.
There's like
and
eight
realistically
different
though,
side hustles.
You have right, but you have no really. Realistically, you have no hobbies.
Yeah.
You have like 1,400 jobs.
Yeah.
And then no, that's not true. Destiny's a hobby. Because you
Destiny's
don't actually
a hobby.
Make any money
I don't
on
make
that.
Any money off of Destiny.
Yeah, and you have no intent on making any money on that.
No,
unless
no.
You start, oh, wait, hang on. Are you going to start Twitch streaming?
No. No.
Okay.
I think Dan is going to. I don't know if he's set it up to Twitch.
I thought he was already.
Twitch stream our Destiny sessions. But like Destiny is because I can't see people in real fucking life. That's how I hang out with people now. Because like, you know.
That's the whole point of the podcast.
That's true. Like I podcast, I see you, and then I blow shit up with my friends online, and that's it. Like I don't get to see anybody ever. Yeah. Like Hazel gets to have play dates, Audrey gets to climb with her climbing group. I get to sit home and watch people do other things. It's great. It's fucking great, Brandon Chalmers. It's great. So great. So yeah, my only hobby is video games. Everything else is me trying to figure out how to like do self-promotion. I'm terrible at it, but like, you know, so I don't know. Music, I've always wanted to do music. I have a way to distribute to all the platforms now, so now I can put this shit up there. Because before, like, me and Johnny would record stuff, and then we would have these recordings. Mm-hmm. And we would have these recordings. So now I have these recordings, and now I'm just gonna push it out.
Yeah, there. I get you.
Because if we had like DistroKid when we were doing our band thing, there would be more stuff out there of us. That, like, I don't know that we would still be playing together, but we would have tracks up for people to check out. So now I'm just going to make tracks and stick them up. So that's the new geeky thing, which is an old geeky thing. But I have in the past couple of podcasts looked for news stories that are somewhat positive and have brought them to us to lighten our emotional load. I have none this week. I have fury and anger to bring honor to us all because the Mulan movie came out. Now, I do not give a shit about the DLC model. Like, I don't care that they're charging people $30.
We've
like,
talked about this ad nauseum.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about that. What I do give a shit about that, it has come to light that they filmed in a region of China where the Chinese government is incarcerating a ethnic minority group, and they've been doing so for a long time now. The Uyghurs, they're incarceration camps, they're re-education camps, but the Muslim Uyghur minority in China is being jailed and carted up into these camps.
Okay.
Where they are forced into slave labor. There's like all sorts of human rights violations going on in these camps. And Disney was like, well, fuck that. We're going to film there anyway because we need authenticity in our movie. And I'm just like...
No, I mean... What do you expect? Like, I hate to say it this way, but China is not exactly, near as I can tell, the best when it comes to human rights.
No
shit. I think that's a real understatement.
No shit, but the Disney Corporation giving them money and thanking them in the credits, thanking the Politburo who's putting out all of this propaganda against the Uyghur people is a big
exactly how
deal.
You handle large governments that oppress their people. You want to operate, you want to play in that area, you pay the people off, and you do the glad handing. That's diplomacy, man. But
this isn't helping the Uyghurs at all. This is helping oppress the Uyghurs. This is giving them more money to oppress this group of people.
Right, but let's not pretend that if they filmed in a different part of China, what would stop them from taking that same money and putting it toward exactly what this is?
But that isn't the point. The point is that they went to this area that is known for what they're doing to these people, like incarcerating them, taking away their rights, forcing them to, separating families. Just everything that we're doing at the border is what they're doing and worse over there.
Right. Okay.
And for the Disney Corporation to turn a blind eye to that, it's money, I guess. But like for them to do all that stuff and then to make a shitty movie, it's terrible. Even if the movie was good, it's still a terrible thing. Like we're helping to fund this human rights violation, this major thing that's been going on for years. And we're just, I don't know. I'm so pissed about all of it. So like, I don't know where to sit on that because it's not like I turned off Disney Plus. Like it's not like I'm not paying them to watch all this shit on their thing. Like when The Mandalorian comes out, we're all going to watch The Mandalorian because that's what we do. I'm just, I don't know. It pissed me off more than anything else that's come out about the movie. Like I do not give a shit about the story. I don't give a shit about like paying $30 to watch it early when it's coming out in December. But like all of this in this time and era when like you would expect some good to come out of something, to find out all of this coming out, it's just like, come on, man. It's just, it's bullshit. It's frustrating. And it's just, you know, I guess, I don't know what else to say about it. Like, I don't know.
Who exactly are you mad at in this scenario? Just for clarification's sake, are you mad at Disney? Are you mad at the Chinese government?
I'm mad at both of them. I am furious at the Chinese government. They have been doing horrible things to the Uyghurs for you know, for no good reason.
I'd argue it's much more than just the Uyghurs, but yes, in this scenario, let's focus in on that.
Yeah. No, I'm furious at China. I am disappointed at Disney. Like, I know in their heart of hearts, all they give a shit about is money.
Yeah.
But I'm very disappointed that, like, I don't know. Couple that with like the stars of the movie saying things like, well, you know, the mainland should oppress the people in Hong Kong because it's their right to do so and all that kind of stuff. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, but I was having a discussion about that, and all I can think is if someone grew up indoctrinated into that system and that being okay, I'm not surprised that that is their opinion when even they're put on a global stage. Like,
yeah,
you grow up feeling this one way. This is what you're told. This is what you're raised. This is what is kind of ground into you. I'm not surprised that somebody who believes that then ends up on a public platform or ends up having the skills to be an actor, to be able to be thrust into that position. And then when talked to about it, stands by what they know, whether it's right or wrong. Like, I'm not surprised about that. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm not surprised about that. And I don't think any of us as fans should be surprised about that either, because ultimately there is a real different culture going on in that part of the world that we as Americans cannot put ourselves in the place of.
Yeah.
I don't think we have the mental capacity to understand what that life is like and to really know that and, you know, try and figure out like what is okay, what's comfortable, what's normal, what isn't normal, and what we compare that to in an American life. Like,
yeah, I guess the thing that I don't know, that throws me about Disney just doing this and turning a blind eye is because, like, and this is my fault. It's like you have this perception of Disney being like very progressive and like here for your kids, and you want your kids to learn all these lessons. And that's not the case at all. Nothing that Disney has ever done is any part of that. Like, they're not altruistic. They're not here for the people. They're here to make money.
But I'm genuinely confused where they got the label of progressive.
Well, I guess the handful of times they've wink, winked and nudge, nudge. Hey, the LGBT community exists.
Sure. Great. Thanks. Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think that's part of my problem is like, I've had this starry, wide-eyed view of Disney that like they are for a better future for us. Like, you know, we have all these sort of progressive things. We've got like minorities cast in Star Wars, and that's a thing that wouldn't necessarily have happened without Disney's involvement. Like,
sure, okay,
we've got somewhat diverse Marvel movies. But that's a silo in and of itself.
I was going to say, I don't know if saying diverse Marvel movies is a factually
diverse
true statement.
Ish. Yeah. So like, I think the part of my problem is I want Disney to produce things that like I could be happy to have Hazel just sit down and watch. And that is increasingly that has never been the reality. They've always been problematic. Like, Disney has always been problematic.
Yeah.
So like, I shouldn't be surprised.
Pick absolutely anything and really have an uncomfortable level with all of it. I mean,
yeah.
Like, ultimately, the plus side with a lot of the animated stuff is unless you're looking for it, you usually don't pick up on it.
Yeah.
So the kids can definitely watch this stuff and know that it's relatively safe.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I don't know. I read that and I was just like, come the fuck on. I was just like, what?
Yeah,
I was probably going to end up watching it because it was going to be there on Disney Plus in December. And I was just like, a terrible wuxia film with nobody behind the camera who understands what wuxia films are. Let me watch this. But now, knowing that they're filming this right next to a bunch of like incarceration camps where people are fucking starving and dying, I'm just like, yeah, that I don't know if I can support that. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, I get you. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think about any of that. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's not like I'm turning off Disney Plus.
And this is the problem, is I don't know many of us who are willing to do that, because ultimately, I'm sure this is not a true statement, but boy howdy does it feel like it. If I turned off everything because of something shitty somebody did or the situation, I'd run out of shit to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you could watch Seuss run around in the backyard. That'll last for like an hour.
Yeah, right.
Seuss hasn't done anything.
No, Seuss hasn't done anything. But my dog, not Dr. Seuss. That guy's a fucking monster. But.
Yeah, yeah. It's real weird reading Fox and Socks to Hazel with the image of like his anti-Japanese cartoons blazed in my head, just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess this is when it gets into the like the academic discussion of like death of the author, where like the author's intent doesn't matter once they've created the piece. The piece of art is out in the universe and you can enjoy it however you want. It's like, you know, Harry Potter, you can enjoy on one level as long as you don't pay attention to J.K. Rowling, who's a fucking asshole, transphobic bitch. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that.
Yeah, again, the one that you and I have discussed that always comes back when this conversation starts is Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Like, where's the line?
Yeah.
Because I know I deleted all of MJ's stuff off of there.
Yeah, we did too.
But I also know that Billie Jean's still a fucking banger. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with any of that.
You you get Alien Ant Farm to cover all of it, and then you'd be like, oh, they haven't done anything terrible. We can listen to that.
No. We don't. Well, ultimately, though, like, is a cover okay?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Because isn't that just tribute art to someone who's a child molester?
I guess. The difference is that he is dead, so he no longer reaps the benefits of that. So,
aren't the people like shy of his children, right? Aren't there other people in that sphere who benefited financially and probably swept a lot of shit under the rug?
Yeah, I don't know. That,
like,
that's
do I
the
have
other
to
question.
Wait for all
yeah.
of the extended family to be dead before I can I can finally put on?
Like, yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, like I need a sphere where I need to figure out, like, when is it okay?
When is it
to
okay?
To
yeah.
Smooth Criminal. Like, yeah, Smooth yeah. Criminal is a great example.
Yeah.
When is it okay to listen to Smooth Criminal? When is it okay to listen to a cover of Smooth Criminal?
Smooth Criminal, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, where's the line? Because we're not talking about like uncomfortable racism or, you know, something somebody spat off about or what have you. We're talking about like. And again, in the same breath, R. Kelly.
Oof.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, like, do I have to wait for R. Kelly to be dead? And then what's the line?
Yeah. I guess everyone has to come up with their own, because I don't think there's an answer. I don't think there's a good answer that fits everybody. I think you just have to make your own judgment. Cause like, just like you, like I had a lot of MJ on all of my playlists. It's all off. Anytime we hear him on the radio and we don't realize it, it's like, oh yeah, yeah. Oh fuck. And so we change it.
Right.
And I'm not sure. I don't know if there's a good answer to any of this. Cause you're right. If we looked into everything, it's all awful. Like all the movies in the 80s perpetuated horrible stereotypes about
women, oh, yeah,
gender roles and all this kind of stuff. And right, behind the scenes, it was awful. It was a toxic environment and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But there's enjoyable films in the 80s, clearly, because it's influenced pop culture forever.
Right.
Yeah. There are stories of, like, in the comic book industry of people being horribly treated for various reasons. And we still collect these stories and read these stories. I don't know.
It's interesting as we come to grips with things and start to figure out, like, okay, what's the line here? Like, what's appropriate? What's not appropriate? What's appropriate for the time at the time?
Yeah.
And I know this ends up spiraling out into a much larger conversation of, like, what is acceptable during that time period is not acceptable today, and where's the line? And we start to slide these things back and forth. And I'm sure there's somebody who would go to the, like, extreme of the statue conversation and slavery and everything that goes along with it. Right. Yeah. Because you ultimately, if you start spiraling that out, you want to absolutely go that far. And I've lost track of how many conversations with random people about that.
Yeah. Well, I think when it comes to the arts, these conversations are a little less clear. When it comes to things like slavery and putting statues of people who fucking lost and are traitors.
Yeah.
That's obvious.
No, I think my concern, or more importantly, like, my question is are there some steadfast rules that we can all agree on that, like, sexual assault in the case of R. Kelly, child molestation in the case of MJ, fucking just straight up racism. Like, can we all agree that those three things are not okay regardless of time?
Yeah. I mean,
and then yes, we just
I
say,
agree. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm still allowed to watch a John Hughes movie, even though a lot of, like, fucking 16 Candles is a perfect example of how fucking uncomfortable the racism is in that movie.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't watch that movie.
Right. But if it comes on, I don't know what's okay. Weird Science is another one. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I think when it comes to the arts, I think it has to come to a individual choice. Like, I will never watch anything with Mickey Rooney in it, because fuck him. I've never seen Breakfast at Tiffany's.
You're not missing anything.
I will never see Breakfast at Tiffany's. If there's a documentary about Mickey Rooney on someone's television, I am walking out the door. Because fuck him. Like, fuck him. I do not give a shit. Like, fuck
No, him. I've got no argument there.
So, but at the same point, I do not expect you to also tell Mickey Rooney to roll over in his grave and fucking rot. Like, I'm not going to put that on you.
You can spend about 12 seconds watching him in Breakfast at Tiffany's and be like, no, you knew better. You fucking knew better.
Yeah, you knew better, and it was wrong at the time, and you still did it.
Right. And like,
because you thought it was funny.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I go in that same thought process, and then I go, okay, what about all of the, like, Borscht Belt comics who all played Native Americans during sitcoms in the 60s?
Yeah.
Like, half of F Troop. And that show's problematic as fuck. But, like,
yeah. I never watched that either.
I'm not really surprised. You never really seem like this. Let me clarify. Your parents never really seem like the type to trust Nick at Night to be your babysitter.
No.
But I had neglectful parents.
Yeah.
And was definitely given a pizza and been like, it's 10:30. Keep the doors locked. You'll be fine. Just put this on. Try and keep it on these channels. A-okay. And, like,
yeah. Yeah. I think it has to be up to individuals to do their own thing. I think something like Warner Brothers, when they have broadcasted earlier versions of their cartoons where you have, like, blackface and stuff like that, there'll be a warning on the screen that says, like, this particular episode has depictions of black people which are culturally insensitive. Well, they'll have some kind of warning to let you know what's going
why
on.
Why air it?
Well, that's another good question. I don't know.
Because ultimately, Warner Brothers, like Looney Tunes, is what we're referring to.
Yeah, the Looney Tunes.
In this conversation.
Okay. Yeah, there's right. the yeah.
I'm not gonna be like, well, this is the Bugs Bunny cartoon number 36, and then they skipped right to number 38 for some particular reason, and I don't know why. And then I go dusting off the typewriter, dear Warner and or Brothers, like.
Well. Yeah,
who's gonna know? Or is the problem that half of the goddamn cartoons need to be redone?
Well, Bugs Bunny, the character would need to be redone because his gloves go back to like the minstrel era where the actors were wearing white gloves and stuff, and so his character design is directly influenced by the minstrel era.
Well, hang on a second, doesn't that mean Mickey Mouse has the same problem?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Okay,
and so like a lot of those cartoons. They'll have warnings about specific episodes, but they won't go deeper into it by talking about like, well, the gloves also harken back from that era and all of these things. And
okay, can I ask a genuine question, because I had never done that math.
Yeah.
Does that necessarily change the character? And like, I think the real question is, and this is gonna sound awful of me to ask the question. Who is that hurting those gloves? Or is the idea of just removing them as just a, like, we need to just remove all of the racist iconography from this thing and kind of start fresh?
Or do the
gloves necessarily change the conversation about Bugs Bunny?
Yeah, I think more people need to be aware of that.
Okay.
Because it's a feature of, like, so these minstrel shows came out of the Jim Crow era, which was definitely intended to keep black people down. Somehow that got translated into our cartoons.
Well, yeah. I mean, it makes sense in a lot of ways. You take what's already popular and you take, you know, the shows and what have you, and you basically create a version that is easily recreated, easily expanded upon, can be done in a studio and can be distributed nationally with little to no effort.
Yeah. And those kind of depictions have been so ingrained in our society that you have to realize that America has always been racist.
Yes,
but like, I don't know. I mean, Bugs Bunny definitely has lost his cultural hold on the youth. Like,
right.
Like no one watches those Warner Brothers cartoons anymore.
And I can't imagine, that's not true. I'm sure there are some fucking people out there who would absolutely like dig heels in the sand and be like, I don't see why they got to change Bugs Bunny, yada 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 yada. But like the question that I genuinely have is like, is changing that going to change the influence or, you know, the thought process for anyone or what have you? Or is it one of those things where focusing on the more important portions of that and just saying, hey, these are old cartoons from this time, but some of these things, the overt blackface, we will not show. Just full stop, we just won't show them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the overt instances of blackface are a lot more in your face and obvious than like the character design of Bugs and Porky and Mickey and all that kind of stuff.
Foghorn.
Yeah, Foghorn. So you get rid of that stuff for sure. But then you have the people who say that, like, well, if you erase that, then you erase that part of the culture and you take away an opportunity to have a discussion about it. And I don't think
that you need to have a cartoon about blackface or show blackface in a cartoon. Because ultimately, I don't know when are the parents going to see this and go, Jesus fucking Christ, why is there blackface on my television? And the kids be like, what are you shouting about? And you have to be like, okay, so one, sorry, I've been apparently just slacking on the conversation about racism, but by all means, since Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck introduced you, let's sit down and talk. Like, I don't know if that's the tone, because what I don't want is that imagery being introduced in between children laughing at cartoon characters who they have started to grow to like.
Yeah.
Like, is that the time to introduce that sort of imagery, or is it an uncomfortable reality of going, hey, so they're Looney Tunes cartoons, but they were done during this era, and there's a couple cartoons we won't air anymore. Why won't you air them? Well, because they show terrible things like the one with Bugs and the weird little dude with the bomb and the references to the Japanese. Like,
yeah.
That shit is super uncomfortable to watch. It was uncomfortable to watch when I was a kid because it's like, this feels real racist. But you normalize it if you just present it with the other cartoons. Fuck your like little censor thing or warning before it gets started. Like,
yeah.
South Park has the censor thing. They continue to say whatever the fuck they please. Doesn't change the overt racism of some of the things that they say. Mm-hmm. Now, you know that it's done in a more tongue-in-cheek manner, but I'd argue there might be quite a few episodes you're like, that's too fucking much. Like,
yeah. And also, some of the people who watch South Park don't realize it's tongue-in-cheek. So,
yeah, right.
It would be interesting to see Warner Brothers and Disney actually talk about it and like actually have a special on Disney Plus that like takes a look at Song of the South and like explain why Song of the South is not on Disney Plus and talk about stuff. I think until the companies address it head on, we're always going to be in this gray zone of like, well, do I tell my kids that about this, or do I wait until they're older, or like, and then am I erasing the, like, I don't know. And then the other thing is, if you never see blackface, you get to college and you dress in blackface and you think that's a funny thing to do at a frat party without realizing,
No. I will not give anyone this fucking excuse. I won't do it. Like, I'm sorry. I won't do it. Like, you know who dresses in blackface or thinks blackface is appropriate? Anyone who seems to think that putting makeup to change the color of their skin to do some sort of Halloween costume or whatever it is, people who are fucking racist.
Yeah.
Because you have to understand that the physical changing of your skin tone does not, if I buzz the rest of this, went high top mohawk, did the overalls, the chains and everything else like that, and was pale as I am, I still would look like fucking Mr. T. I don't need that. I don't have to do it. I can sound like Mr. T. I can do all the catchphrases. I can have all of the fucking unnecessary jewelry because he was a ridiculous cartoon character of a person in the 80s, but I can be Mr. T without doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really can.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to suddenly just rub mayonnaise all over yourself and get a sousaphone to pretend to be Kenny G. You can hot crimp your hair and get a horn and pretend to be, like, nobody's gonna be like, that Jamie's impression of Kenny G is pretty close, but I think we know what he needs to do.
He needs to be whiter.
Right. Yeah. Like, I don't need to do this. I don't.
Yeah.
Like, I the other thing is I think there might need to be a realization that dressing up like someone else's culture is not a fucking Halloween costume.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Dressing up as a Native American and dressing up as a pirate are not equal.
No.
Like, they're not.
No.
They're fucking not.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, you wandering around like a drunken asshole at a party doing your best Johnny Depp Captain Jack Sparrow impression with your girlfriend. Like, goddamn, Johnny Depp is problematic because I just thought about what he was in fucking Lone Ranger.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, we don't need this.
Yeah.
I don't need you and, like, I don't need you going out with the headdress and the whole nine, like trying to, I guess, be one of the village people. Like if you went out and you went like this and you went in the full ethnic and all of a sudden they'd be like, what are you dressed as? And you went like this and then looked at everybody else and went, the fuck is everybody?
Why?
Like, right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Like, wait, so you're one of the village people? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I'm one of the village people.
Yeah.
I'd assume you're just a clever racist. Like that's, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't have a good answer. I just know that everything's racist.
Yeah. I have gone to enough cons and seen enough cosplay to know that you do not need to change the color of your skin to fucking work your way across.
Also, some of these kids need a better education because it is not cool to put a swastika on and dress as a German officer.
Can that we fucking talk cool. about the that distributing cool. company who put that out? The fucking, like, who approved that?
I don't know, but Japan is not great when it comes to that kind of stuff. So
what the fuck?
I don't care if it's an anime. Don't wear the swastika at your anime con.
Don't.
Just don't. And don't. I know cons aren't coming back until 2022. Mark my fucking words. But leave that out of your repertoire when it comes to cosplay.
Yeah, and genuinely, put this in your manual. Like, when you buy the tickets, if you show up rocking some Nazi anime shit, they should turn you around and not let you in.
Yeah. Yeah, that needs to be part of the... Because kids don't get it. So that needs to be explicitly stated. It's not okay.
It's not right. okay. You turn people away for weapons. Yeah. You can turn people away for racist symbols.
Yeah. And that's...
If somebody walked up dressed like the fucking Grand Wizard of the KKK,
no,
and you'd
thank
be
you.
Like, it's a Deep South anime. You'd be like, the fuck it is. And then I find out that out of somewhere in Japan, they released like some sort of like My Hero Clanadamia.
Clan Senpai.
Fucking, right, yeah, I don't fucking know, but like... Yeah, some fucking Appalachia anime or some
Boku
shit.
No Appalachia Senpai.
Right, yeah, like...
Oh my God.
You know, yeah, they decide to, I don't know, like they drink the powerful moonshine of the something or other, whatever it is, and then, you know, there's like a whole big, like, like they.
General Lee-sama.
The jug, and then they like blow into the jug, and depending on how full the jug is, the tone like whispers across the mountains, and then all of a sudden, like a giant flaming cross spins behind, and then they do like some sort of like. Big Sailor Moon thing, but like they're waving and then all of a sudden they're like standing up and the cross is blowing behind them and
Jesus
they're all like
Christ.
This and
oh right. fuck oh right someone's How gonna do that oh some 4chan someone on 4chan is gonna do that now oh fuck god
like racist is racist like,
yeah
I'm sorry yeah. like and as we approach Halloween like, first off, one, if you know anyone who is throwing a Halloween party, punch them in the face.
Yeah.
If you know somebody who's going to a Halloween party, punch them in the face.
No.
Wait, hang on. Follow them to the Halloween party. Punch everyone in the face. Wear your mask.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah.
Stop this.
Halloween is canceled. Go to the store and get your kid a giant bulk bag of shit because that's the Halloween they're gonna go from the basement to your bedroom that you're gonna knock on the bedroom
right, yes, right.
and then you dump all the candy onto them.
You are gonna spend money on a costume right for them, take the budget for that and the budget you were gonna buy for candy and buy a fucking ton of candy.
Yeah,
I mean,
just
a ton of it,
all
just
the candy, all
way
the candy.
Too much of it.
Your right? kid deserves all the candy because they're stuck at home on screens all fuck day. They need a chocolate bar.
And so do you, because you all can start breaking into those magic bowls and you can put them fucking everywhere. Like,
yeah.
just go bananas with the whole
yeah.
thing. But
yeah.
if you are a couple or you are single and you have a costume that you've been using or want to use or whatever it is, now is the time to do a social distance Zoom Halloween party with all of your friends who have kids, because they can finally make the party.
Yeah.
Now's the time.
Yeah.
You all can all hang out and drink at home. And then that weird guy who keeps going to Renfest as Captain Jack Sparrow and then breaks out that Captain Jack Sparrow costume again for Halloween, he can literally like hang out in front of the thing and he'd be like, yes.
I know, mate.
Yeah.
Hide the rum.
The rum is gone. And just...
There's a guy who used to go to the Maryland Renaissance Festival in Jack Sparrow costume. There's this one guy. He was known for this. And I used to work with a woman who lived on a houseboat, and she had her own pirate crew. And they used to shit on him to filth, because apparently in the pirate community, you're supposed to come up with your own shit, your own garb, your own thing. And that's like their thing. If you come as Jack Sparrow, you're looked down upon in the pirate community. So,
okay, let's break down a couple things, because I really need to wrap my head around all this. I know we're running long, but you cracked this egg, so here we are. Imagine being known as the Captain Jack Sparrow guy.
Yeah.
Let that live in its own little like ball of sadness, I guess. Like, I'm sure this guy is real proud, but like, you're that guy.
He was the guy. Yeah,
that you guy. Are Green Lantern guy. Like, you know that one guy who walks around the con with
Hal
like
Jordan
the
guy.
Green Lantern?
Hal Jordan
yeah,
guy.
Hal Jordan guy. Yeah. So you are that guy. Okay. Now, secondary to that, did you say the pirate culture?
Oh, Brandon Chalmers.
No.
Yeah,
no. 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 Is this person going out and attacking other ships?
No, it is not Somali pirate culture. It is the cosplay culture.
It's fandom. So now we're getting into a subculture of fandom. So these are basically the same thing as like dickheads who really love Luke Skywalker.
I would categorize it more on like the steampunk guys. So like they'll go.
That's not helping anything.
Well, they'll go to a Renfest in steampunk and they'll have their own ships like and have crews and stuff. So I kind of put these guys and the pirate culture in the same mode where they're like subcultures that grew out of the Renfest kind of thing.
The only thing I'm trying to lay credence to is that they live on a houseboat.
Oh yeah, she did live on a houseboat.
Okay, cool. Like, I mean, so I guess every bed you own is a waterbed. Is that how that works?
Like, I guess you can throw anchor where the fuck you want. I don't know. I don't know how you get your mail. Maybe a P.O. box?
I assume a P.O. box.
A P.O. box. But yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand a lot of this. Yeah, but what I'm understanding is that this friend sounds a little like elitist nerd about a subculture. That
That's the way it came off to me. Like, I was like, woo.
These are people who I would want to walk away from.
Yeah.
While I was eating my turkey leg. And there's a reason why, like the pirate weekend at Renfest, I avoid.
Oh, yeah.
Because what I assume, because I've experienced it once, is a bunch of drunken assholes all thinking they're funny. These are the same people who do the Colossus Roar at MAGFest.
Oh, yeah.
The same people who do the Colossus Roar, the same people who go to Renfest during Pirate Weekend and go, arr, and think that they're super fucking clever. Like,
yeah. Well, I hope I don't get elitist about tokusatsu, but I get way into tokusatsu. Like, whenever I see anybody at a con dressed up as a thing, I'll be like, oh my God, you're the thing!
Right, but the question is, are you upset when somebody dresses up as like the regular US version Power Rangers and in a cosplay or whatever it is, and you walk around and you go, that's a stateside shit. Get your Zordon ass somewhere else. Like,
No, I'm more of like, I'm just excited that other people are excited about the thing that I'm excited about.
Then you're fine. Because the reality is that like the only I don't know what the tokusatsu equivalency of Johnny Depp's Captain Jack Sparrow. Is it Ivan Ooze? I assume it's Ivan Ooze.
Oh, man, Ivan Ooze. I have not seen an Ivan Ooze cosplay at one of these shows.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know what the look down upon tokusatsu cosplay is.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
Until you are like, really? And like, you're good. You're good. Because what they should be doing is embracing this douchebag.
Yeah.
And taking him in, because ultimately he spent a lot of money on that costume.
He did.
He spent way too much. He's a grown man who spent probably upwards of $200 on a weird wig with some wooden beads in it. So that he can pretend to be drunken Johnny Depp.
Yeah, God. Ugh. Well, Brandon, we are going long, but I don't give a fuck. We have a topic.
Okay. So, well, let's try and burn through this because I do have to be at work, be up for work at 4:30 in the morning. So.
Oh shit! That's right. All right. This will be interesting. It might not go too long. So okay. We talked a little bit about Mulan, which is a cartoon going live action. Brandon Chalmers.
Yeah.
Can you think of a movie that is live action that you would like to see done as a cartoon?
John Wick.
John Wick as a cartoon?
John Wick as a cartoon.
Oh, shit.
You can totally expand the universe. You can put them in weird situations. You can do the whole backstory. You can go way back and show old school John Wick stuff.
Oh, and yes.
Do the build up for it. Where
how he got his nickname, the ghost or whatever.
The Baba Yaga. Yeah.
Baba Yaga. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh yeah. You can get into the whole Russian backstory of it. You can get into everything. Like, you can totally expand that universe and go hard in the paint.
The whole culture around the hotel or whatever.
Yeah, the Continental.
The Continental, yes.
Right, yeah. There's a whole subculture that goes on there. It's super rad. And yeah, you can totally expand on it. You can break it out. And honestly, like, the whole thing could basically be shot like Dragon Ball episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Because what is it? Like, we've done three movies that go over the span of what? Like a week and a half?
Yeah.
Like, that dude hasn't had a sandwich. Like, I'm relatively sure he manages to just kind of continue to fight, picked up the, like, no one has been like, hey, John, like, the really well-spoken guy who's from Destiny. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Whit comes back to the Continental. He shows him the dog. They send the dog somewhere else. Like,
yeah.
The dog's okay. And at no point, he's like
a sandwich?
Week. Yeah, yeah. Can I make you a grilled cheese? And you're like, yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I'd like Zavala,
I want a grilled cheese.
Yes, yeah, Zavala. I would Whether like you like to it grill or not. Me a cheese. Yes, I would like you to grill me a cheese, please. Like, can somebody get John Wick a fucking sandwich? God, that's all I'm asking.
I think I'm happy that you came up with that instantly. Because now I fucking want all of this.
Yeah. Like, it's because here's the other thing. It's not a franchise that it's been fucking around forever.
Yeah.
Like, John Wick is the best example of trusting the opportunity to go after a relatively new property and just fucking go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And they just barely scratch the surface of this ridiculous universe, and you can totally deep dive it in a multi-part cartoon and go down the rabbit hole hard as fuck.
Oh. Yeah, that's it. I need to see it. I need to see it.
Congratulations, Shane. I solved a problem.
Yeah, I don't need a comic book. I think it would be rad to work on the comic book, but I think you need to see the animation. You need to see the weird camera angles. You need to see, like, all the clever stuff they do with the gunplay and all that shit.
I need the voices. I need to know, like, I want young Ann McShane. Like, I want the voice actors.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the way that these people deliver those lines has that gravitas. I want to see some young guy working at the Continental, at that front desk, and know that it's Ann McShane, and he has to work his way up, which means when McShane goes, Zavala takes over the New York Continental.
Yes.
Right, yeah, like, he's earned his spot.
Hello, Guardian.
Like, right. But, like, that's what I want, though, is I want to be able to see that. I want to know that the guy who plays Zavala, who worked the Continental, he was formerly a hitman and then decided to turn his token in. And that's how you get out of playing the game is you have to go work the other side of it. You have to work for management. You have to work for the Continental.
Yeah. Like, and I want
had an option.
I want Lance Reddick to drop in Destiny lines here and there as he's like on his missions and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm here for all of that, but yeah, you can totally go through and watch we find out, like, I'd love to have John Leguizamo have a bunch of side stuff and find out that he's been Wick's handler forever. He's not just his car repair guy.
Yeah.
He's not just, right, yeah, like, he's been his handler for forever, and they've got a long-standing history.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear him popping off one-liners. He's super fucking entertaining.
Yeah, because like, everything is like, there's, like, layers of, onion layers in this universe. Like, his car guy is his car guy, you know?
Right. Right, yeah, like, there's so many things and so many people wearing so many hats, and you can dig way down in this whole thing.
Oh.
And you can show him, you know, the previous thing with, I think it was Angelica Houston played the woman who was running the school that Wick trained at,
mm-hmm.
what have you. Like, that whole thing. How did Wick graduate? Did he leave early?
Yeah.
Like, what's the deal with that? How does all of that work?
Ugh. Fuck.
There's a whole and like, honestly, you could spend the first season showing young Wick chasing after somebody and then him get like shot in the arm and him having blood loss and then doing flashbacks to him being in school, being trained, and how his training helps him push his way through all of this stuff.
Man.
And then the whole episode kind of ends with like Wick getting like a rescue, like an evac from Leguizamo in like a classic car, and you hear him go, you know, John, this is a terrible idea. I just want you to know that. You're like, fuck yes. Right.
God,
and
I want to see
and
it.
We don't even see him until like the last two episodes or hell, the last 30 seconds. And then all season two is like Leguizamo handling him. He's like his Q. Like, Bond's got Q. Wick has Leguizamo. Like, that's...
Oh.
There's such a huge fucking universe there. And
whoever is in charge of licensing, get on that. Get it. Get like a Japanese animation studio in on that. Get a Korean animation studio in on that
shit. Get the fucking Netflix animation studio. Get the same crew who did the fucking Voltron to get them to do it. Like,
Yeah. They did Korra. They did Voltron. Do this one. That would be fucking
awesome.
Yeah,
why not? Yeah, you can make a great product with a strong backing studio with all of the capability and all the licensing. Let Netflix handle it. Let them distribute it. Like, yeah.
God, I realize now I haven't seen the third movie.
What the fuck?
It was in theaters. It was out of theaters.
Jamie!
I don't know.
Dude.
I have failed you. I have failed my family.
No. Don't you dare beat up on yourself. All I ask is that you rectify that.
Yeah, I'm going to go see it now. I'm going to watch it tonight.
You really need to. Like, the scene with the fucking knives. Holy shit. And the dogs. Oh, my God.
Is it on Netflix or is it on Prime?
I have no idea, but I'm going to tell you in no uncertain terms. If it's not somewhere like that that you can't stream it, I'll fucking PayPal you the money for it.
I'll buy
you
it on Prime.
You need to go watch that.
Like, if it's like, on Prime, I'll buy that shit.
You need to watch Tell me how much I owe you. Like, it's a non-conversation.
Yeah. Oh,
as a
God.
Friend, you need that movie. You, of all people, need that movie.
Yeah. Well, Brandon Chalmers, that's an episode. That's a motherfucking episode. Like, that's it. John Wick cartoon. We need it. We need it. I'll fucking do character designs. I don't care. I'll do
it. Oh, fuck it. I want to storyboard and write for this shit.
Yeah, like... shit. Like, get on it. We ain't got nothing else. Well, John, you have a job now, but I ain't got nothing else to do, so let's do it.
And don't even play.
Yeah, Brandon Chalmers, where can people find you?
They can find me on Instagram at that guy Chalmers. Jamie, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Jamie Noguchi. You can find me on Spotify, Jamie Noguchi. I'm gonna have a back catalog eventually. My plan is to try to do a song a month, so we'll see how it goes. It won't go that nice. Long.
Go ahead. I was gonna say one last thing is you mentioned music, something to if you still happen to be watching. I want you kids as a little bit of homework. I want you to fire up Bare Naked Ladies, The Old Apartment, and I want you to tell me why it is such an upbeat song about home invasion. Because it's real wrong.
Oh, great. And you can email us at info@fuckingdoitcast.com. I do now check it. I do have access to the email address. No one has written us anything. So if you do, it's almost guaranteed to get on the air. So yeah. If you'd like to hear your name be spoken by us two gentlemen.
Yeah,
Greg. Hit us up.
Yeah. How about that?
All right. Later.
All right, bye.